Most importantly, I want to say thank you to the Holy Spirit for looking after His flock while I was gone. But I want to say a special word of thanks to Brother Claire and Chris, who brought the word in last Sunday's service. I wasn't sure when I got back on Wednesday whether I was going to have a place in the pulpit this morning or not, or whether I was going to have to struggle for a few moments to speak. But the reports I have are such that they are not surprising to me, because I know that God's Spirit's in these men, and I know that they speak the word of the Lord, and I knew that God would speak to you through them. I'm grateful that the Lord has given to this body and to me personally a group of men like this. I appreciate it, and I want to just say publicly that I appreciate it very much, more than these men will probably ever know. But I'm glad that God has given us eternity to give us an opportunity to express it. I thought it might be, because of the nature of the day, I want to share tonight some things that happened while we were gone. I know many of you were praying for us while we were gone and would be interested in some of those. I'll share some things perhaps from a personal standpoint this evening at the evening service. We have a little more time. But this morning, I do want to take a passage of Scripture. I hadn't intended quite to do this way, but I feel led of the Lord to do it this way. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter of Mark, Jesus has just been confronted with a rich young ruler, he's called, a man who had a great deal of money and who inquired about eternal life, how he might inherit eternal life. And let's just read that story together, and then I want to comment on a portion of it towards the end. Verse number 17 of Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, 'How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?' The disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, 'Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.' And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, 'Who then can be saved?' And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, 'With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.'" I want to share with you this morning what would be a little bit of personal testimony, and then share with you one experience that we had while we were gone. Those of you that know me know that I was raised in a Christian home and raised in a church, but that I did not know Jesus Christ as my Lord, and He was not my personal Savior. I did not have a personal relationship with Him until about 5 years ago, well, almost six now, in the fall of 1975, when I called out to Him and surrendered my life to Him. Prior to that time, when I was in school, I guess I would be referred to as a, quote, good boy. In my older years, I don't know whether I'd be referred to as a good boy or not, but I was at least on the surface one who honored God and was part of His church, and I was active in the church in lay ways. I taught the Word of God. I taught the Bible. I shouldn't say I taught the Word of God. I taught the Bible. There wasn't a whole lot of life in what I was teaching in those days, but I taught it the best I knew how. I would go out and share with people in their homes about how to receive Jesus and how to be saved, but I wasn't myself. You know, it's possible to do that. You can go through those motions doing what you think is right. And I did them, but I didn't really have it in my heart. I had all my knowledge in my head, none of it in my heart. So since I've been 37 years old, I have been a different person. The first 37 years of my life, I lived one way. The last five, I've lived completely different. Now that will tell you right quick how old I am. I'm 23. And that's called the new math. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary of our high school graduating class. I graduated from Penn High School in the little town of Greenville, Pennsylvania in 1956. And last fall, I was the class president. And fall a year ago, they asked as they were planning this reunion. And the following night, I came to find out that we, as the 25th year class, were responsible for the alumni banquet for our school. And we were honoring the 50-year class, which would put those people in their late 60s, and the 45-year class, which would put them in their early 60s, which would make them right close to meeting God. You know, the Bible says we have 70 years, or if be by reason of strength, 80. And so the alumni banquet was going to be a group of folks that were very close to finding out whether Jesus Christ is really Lord by experience. You know, we're all going to know that one day. By personal experience, whether we have received Him as Lord in this life or not. And they asked, as president of the class, if, since the 25th year class was hosting and would be responsible for that event, if I would be the toastmaster. I haven't given a toast in a long time. Now, I used to be, I could do that sort of thing, tell funny stories and all. But I changed 5 years ago. And so I wrote back and I said, yes, I'd be glad to do that. And we made the arrangements to go. And that's one of the things that we did while we were gone. Part of the program that Saturday night was that I was to speak on the class of 56 and highlight the class of 56 and tell everybody how wonderful the class was and all the wonderful things that we had done and the contributions that we had made and, you know, all that goofy stuff. All those things that nobody's interested in except your mom and dad. And I really didn't know. I've been gone from Greenville for so many years. We lived there, Lois and I, when we were first married. We lived there, I think, 3 years. Our children were both born there. But in 1963, we left Greenville and have not been there since. Now, this is a little town of about 10,000 people. And how many of you came from little towns? Let me see your hand. Look at that. Good many. You know what these small towns are like. Everybody knows everybody and what everybody's doing. I didn't really know what I was going to speak on. And prior to our leaving, I got down our yearbook. This is our class, senior class yearbook. And I began to look through it and just to refresh myself on what these kids looked like and wondering what they would look like 25 years later. Yes. I didn't know them and they didn't know me. You know, it was funny that, well, that's neither here nor there. On the night just before the alumni banquet, the girls that had organized the thing, I was asking them how did they want me to speak and what was really expected of me and how long could I speak. And of course, those of you that were here in the church that knew I was going to have to do this, I knew how you were praying. And I knew you'd be praying that I'd be preaching. But you know, it's not that easy to go into they had 260 reservations and they ran out of seats. So they had probably close to 300 people there. I told you that it was the Sons of Italy Hall, but it was not. It was the Italian Home Club. Did you get an idea of the kind of place we were? And they set up, as they do in most of these places, a cash bar. And by the time dinner was ready, everybody was a couple of sheets in. Not everybody. There were a few of us that were still sober. But a good many of them were. And especially these older folks were really having themselves a time. Laughing and cutting up and I wanted to know what I was going to be able to do in that kind of a situation when you're invited to speak about your class. It's deceitful to do something other than that. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you just can't walk right in there and get your Bible out and say, well, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. First of all, not very many of them brought their Bibles. And those that did have access to a Bible wouldn't have been able to find Luke. And so we have a responsibility to be honest. We have a responsibility as Christians to be men and women of integrity. And I felt that I needed to be careful about taking advantage of an opportunity, taking advantage of people, I meant. Now, I wanted with all my heart to speak the word of the Lord. And God knew my heart, and so I prayed and asked Him what I would do. The girls weren't much help, and so the next day I sat out on the swing at my father's house and just began to pray and begin to think, and I was looking through the yearbook, and lo and behold, I found out that God knew 25 years ago that I would be making this speech in 1981. Now, I hope you can share this with me, the wonderful provision of our Heavenly Father. I got the yearbook out and began to look, and here's class of 56, officers and so on, class flower, camellia, class colors, lavender and white, class motto, with God, all things are possible. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Hallelujah! Glory! So I preached the word out of the yearbook. I want you to know it's one of the most magnificent things that God has ever done for me. What's the odds? There was another class that graduated in 1956 also from a different high school. I won't tell you whose it was, but it's in the same general vicinity there. And their class motto was, the class that clicks is 56. Now, you know, we could just as easily have gotten that one. But instead, we got Mark the 10th chapter. And I asked one of my classmates after the evening was over, I said, how did we do that? Where did that come from? And she said, don't you remember we had an assembly one day? The senior class all got together. We had about 150, I think, in our class. The senior class got together, and we came together in the auditorium, and we chose all those things, class colors, mottos, and all that. And I thought, is that something that a group of 17 and 18-year-old high school seniors in a public high school would be that kind of group that it would choose God's Word as a class motto? And that's a miracle. As far as I'm concerned, that's a miracle. That's a miracle every bit as much as what we saw here this morning with Andrew's ear being opened. Well, when I saw that, the Holy Spirit, you know, just came all over me. And I just went to rejoicing and praising and magnifying God. And then I thought, well, how am I going to use it? And He began to show me how I could do so. And so that night, as the banquet began, I want you to take heart from this. From God knows your future. He knows your life. Now, your life may be a vapor to you, but to Him, He knows it. I mean, He knows every day. He knew about the alumni banquet before I did. And He knows about all of your todays and all of your tomorrows, and He knows everything that you're going to have to do, and He knows every provision that needs to be made, and He cares so much about you and has enough ability that 25 years ago He'll put those things in motion so that your needs will be met on the day that you need them. Now, that's our God. And this is just one example, as far as I'm concerned, a magnificent one. that he really does know and he really is able. Now, if he can take care of those little things, then don't you think he can put clothes on our back and food in our mouths? And don't you think he can take care of our children and our grandchildren? And don't you think he can take care of his own church? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. That night when we got there, the lady that was planning the thing, the class of 56 giving the handling the program, she needed somebody to give an invocation. Do you know what an invocation is? It's an opening prayer. They call it invocation. She needed somebody to give an invocation, and she only knew one religious person from our class. There was a, you know, when people in the world are wanting to do something, wanting prayer, they want a religious person. And so we had one girl in our class that joined the Salvation Army. And they knew she was religious because she wore a uniform, you know. And I mean, you can't get more religious than that. And so they wrote her and asked her if she would come and give the invocation. Well, she wrote back and said that she couldn't come. And so at the last minute, they didn't know what to do because they didn't know anybody else in the class who was religious. And so she put my name on the program. And as she was showing me, I picked up the program off the table and I was looking at it, and she came over and she kind of almost apologetically, she explained this to me, that she had asked Norma to give the invocation. And I didn't know what else to do, Vic, and so I put your name. I hope that's all right. I looked at Lois and I went, and I think I can handle it. So, and really, we were doing that on the inside, just kind of chuckling and laughing. And no one else, you know, she didn't know what really had been going on. So when it came time to have prayer, have the opening prayer, I had everybody in the place just join hands. And I told them that I wasn't going to pray and have them be a spectator, that we were all going to pray. Well, that sobered some of them up. But you know, it was so magnificent because the Spirit of the Lord was just flowing there. And so we all held hands and just quiet, just like that. We had nice prayer, bless the food, praise Jesus. And then after we had dinner, I introduced the visiting dignitaries and went through the kind of thing that the Toastmaster does and introduced the speakers. And I was the last speaker. And the thing that is so marvelous, what God gave me was so beautiful. And I'm not going to give you the whole thing, but you would have been proud of me because I did it all in less than 10 minutes. I think, didn't I, hon?
10 to 15.
She says maybe 15. But this is what the Lord showed me, and this is what is so beautiful. The little town I come from is a very insignificant and obscure kind of town, and nobody knows. Every state's got a Greenville, you know, none of them are very important. And the Lord showed me His Son, Jesus, and His background. And so when I began to speak, I said, I want to tell you something about the class of 1956, but first of all, I want to tell you a story. Well, the assistant superintendent of instruction education was sitting next to Lois, and he bumps her at the head table. Isn't it like a preacher always has a story? But he didn't know what kind of story I was going to tell him. And so I began to tell him about one time, long, long time ago, that there was a man. He was born in a small town, a very obscure town. Nobody of much importance knew about his birth, and his parents were not very well-to-do, and they were not well-known, and so it was not a very important occasion to the world when this man was born, and that his parents could not really give him very many of the advantages of life. And he grew up simply and simple surroundings and lived a simple life. And when he came to maturity, he entered into his life's work, but his life's work was a little different than most people. He became a preacher. Well, I found out later that one of my classmates is to the one next to her. Who's he talking about? Who's thinking that it was somebody in our class? that I was talking about. Had no idea who I... Now, you know right away who I'm talking about, but... These folks, amen, that's it. See, the kids know. And so I just went on like that. You know, he became a preacher. He healed people and he fed the people that were hungry. He gave people hope that didn't have any hope and went on a little bit about his ministry without identifying him and trying to put it in common language today. So if you didn't really know that who this man is, you would, there'd be some question in your mind. And then I led into the fact that his ministry was not very popular with the people and it cost him his life. And a group of people had got together and finally put him to death, finally killed him for what he'd been doing. But 3 days later, he wasn't dead anymore. Well, about that time, people began to get the idea I was talking about. And that he rose from the dead. And then this is what was so marvelous, what the Lord had showed me, was that this man had a tremendous secret, but that he didn't keep it a secret. He revealed it to us. And I told them the story about this day in Mark chapter 10, when his disciples had asked him about a particular question. How can it be possible? How can this be done? There's no hope. And this man said that with man it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And the secret that this man had was that God was with him, that God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went everywhere doing these marvelous things because God was with him. And all things are possible with God. And then I explained that about 2,000 years later, a group of high school teenagers were preparing to graduate and were selecting a motto under which they would live, a banner that they would declare that this is my standard of life. And it was customary in that day to do that thing. And this young group of teenagers was wise way beyond their years. And they chose the words of this man who had lived so many years ago and made it their motto. And the class, of course, class didn't remember this. But they, of course, they related to it when I shared it. And then I had an opportunity to share a portion of my personal testimony, what had happened to me and the change that had taken place in my life. And then shared that anything good that we had ever done as a class, without identifying what it was, that the only reason we'd ever done it was because with God, all things are possible. And anything we ever would do, it would be because of the presence of God with us. Well, you could have heard a pin drop in that place. I think it's marvelous that the Lord would allow that to go forth in that kind of a situation. You know, many of those people who were in that room would never hear the gospel any other way, never have another opportunity. They seemed to be very quickly sober and very quickly attentive. And it was, it blessed me very much, I guess I should say, that after it was over, after I had made my presentation, I'd introduced the class to the people and so on. And then the lady who is the permanent secretary of the Alumni Association, and so your prayers were answered. That's why I'm sharing this, all right? I want you to know that the effectual, fervent prayers of righteous people are dynamite that get things done. So I was up there, you're down here. The Spirit of God, see, one of us plant, one water, well, but it's the Spirit of God who's getting the increase. That when she came forward to the microphone after I was finished, it had, the tone had changed in the room so. You could have cut the spirit in there with a knife. Up until that time, it had been jokes and little profanity, you know, some four-letter words thrown in here. That, you know, people are when they get together in that kind of a situation. But after that, when she came to the microphone, it was her responsibility to read the minutes from last year's thing and to make some announcements. Well, when she got to the microphone, she was so nonplussed, she couldn't read the minutes. She said, I think we'll dispense with the reading of the minutes. And you could tell that something had happened to her that she just had not expected what had taken place there. And afterwards, I was very much blessed by a number of people, not only from our class, but those that are up, you're getting ready to meet the Lord. You know those ones I'm talking to you about? We had some teachers there, some folks that I remember from school, and most of them retired now, who were greatly blessed by the fact that the Lord would bring that kind of a word forth. And I find many people were sitting, and some, you may be like these people. Some of you may be like this. There were many people sitting in that room that night that would have loved to tell a person next to them about Jesus, but didn't have the boldness to do it, didn't have the power to do it, didn't have the capacity because they had not received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I had so many to say, that's so wonderful what you said. I would like to be able to do that, but I just don't have that kind of boldness. Person after person after person. This is the very thing that is weak, that is a weakness in the Church of Jesus Christ. That Christians have within them the truth, and they have within them the desire to share with others, but there's no power to do that apart from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that power shall come upon you when the Holy Spirit comes, and you'll be my witnesses. In Douglasville and in Atlanta and in Greenville, Pennsylvania and in Kalamazoo, Michigan and wherever you're from. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us the energizing to speak the word forth, the word of the Lord. And so I was, and I know that Lois was very much blessed to have that opportunity that evening. The next Sunday in Sunday school, one of the ladies was there. She had not been to the alumni thing, but the town, I don't know if the whole town was, but a number of people in the town were buzzing about what had happened that night. The very next day, my dad's name is the same as mine. I'm a junior. The next day on the program that night at the banquet, the name was Victor P. Rocky. There was no junior on it. And so the next day at church, the fellow who's the editor of the local paper there, spoke to my dad. So I heard about your presentation last night at the alumni banquet. He wasn't even there. And already by the next morning, the word had, you know, people just kind of tittering one to another. And then the following Sunday, some comments as well that we received when we were at church. So God did use us, and I thank Him for that, and I praise Him for that. I'm so grateful to have an opportunity to speak His word, not only here, but wherever we go. And I just want to encourage the church this morning that if you want to speak the word of God to somebody else, God will, A, give you an opportunity, and He'll give you the word to do it, and He'll cause it to be so smooth that nobody can get mad at you. And that's what I just marvel about, that in that kind of a situation, that God did a miracle that we saw the manifestation of Saturday night, 2 weeks ago, that He began 25 years ago in 1956 was the beginning of that miracle. We saw the manifestation of it just a couple of weeks ago. That God will do anything He can to get His word to people. And I'm so thankful today for that, just that opportunity, and I'm very grateful for your prayers while we were gone, because I know that the Lord has answered those as well and honored those. Let me ask you to bow your heads with me, please.